physical chemistry, and I really really felt that my path was chosen.
Okay.
That's the way it had to be.
Okay.
So, and I think most of this is just due to the fact that I think I really had excellent professors. Not only as teachers, but really as friends, too. And that was, that was really the turning point, I think, where I decided to stay in that field.
Okay.
And of course, that these professors also were the ones that steered me towards Stanford.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Both Naylor and and there was another gentleman named Mr. Schmoltz, who was a great guy. He had a place out in Los Gatos, and he grew fruit trees and grafted them, and he had all different kinds of oranges coming out of one tree and what have
you.
But he used to invite us out. We'd go out and spend a day at his place. He'd say that was really interesting. But he was a product of Stanford, as was Naylor. And most of the individuals that had gone through with chemistry backgrounds from San Jose ended up going to Stanford.
Interesting.
I mean, it just seemed to be a tunnel that went from one to the other.
Okay.
And, of course, it was also convenient because the trip to Stanford from San Jose was not that difficult to make that time. We used to, I had a close neighbor who taught in the Palo Alto area.
Okay.
And so we would ride group together. He'd drive 1 week and I'd drive the next. So that worked out very nicely.
So before we move on to Stanford, would you like to talk a little more about the chemistry department at San Jose State? How big was it? What was it doing, any research? I mean, that sort of question.
let's see. At that time, there was there were six professors in chemistry, which covered, let's say, organic, analytical, physical chemistry.
Okay.
You know, I said organic. Yeah. And I guess that was about it.
Okay.
And as I rate them, they were all excellent.
Okay.
Our analytical professor was a woman. Her name was Witherspoon. His name was coming back. And she was tops also. I mean, she really generated that feeling of the need for accuracy in what you were doing. And I enjoyed that. I'm not sure. She left sometime after I had graduated. I'm not sure where she went. But, but the other three gentlemen stayed with the college until they retired or unfortunately passed away. I think they're all gone now, unfortunately. But anyway, some of them, like Naylor, was there through the expansion of San Jose State. As you're probably well aware, San Jose State is now a fairly large university. And in fact, I was back last year and walked to the campus, and it's entirely different, and it really kind of upset me a bit because mm-hmm. some of the real market, the covered quad, yeah. is gone. Uh-huh. The only thing that's really left of the uh-huh. original university is the tower.
Okay.
And the old chemistry building.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, and the old gym. Uh-huh. Now the chemistry building uh-huh. no longer is totally chemistry. It's got
okay.
dance and uh-huh. art okay. and okay. what have you in it.
Okay.
Entirely changed inside. The exterior uh-huh. looks the same.
Okay.
But the interior has okay. been all changed and remodeled.
Okay.
And it just is different.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I didn't get into the tower. That was the uh-huh. place where the uh-huh. where the Phi Delta Phi uh-huh. met, and it was well known for uh-huh. its plank sticking out of the upper uh-huh. window of the tower
okay.
because that's where the initiation was held.
Okay, well, I see.
And
okay.
everyone that was initiated thought that they had to walk the plank out there. So. That was there. Uh-huh. It still looks like it did before. It's still okay. ivory covered and okay. that. But the rest of it is all
okay.
all changed. I mean, there are new buildings. Let's say I just had a difficult
mm-hmm.
time
mm-hmm.
getting through the whole thing. And
okay.
where, when I went to San Jose State
uh-huh.
and my wife, we lived in a small apartment
uh-huh.
on, at that time it was 9th Street,
uh-huh.
which was 2-3 blocks
okay.
from the
okay.
edge of the
uh-huh.
campus.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Presently, the college now extends past that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And of course,
okay.
all the houses that were
okay.
there are gone.
Okay.
And it's
okay.
not buildings for the
okay.
campus. So the, yeah, the campus has really, really expanded.
Yeah.
I mm-hmm. would have liked to sit in on one of their classes, but mm-hmm. I didn't have the
uh-huh.
at the time, unfortunately,
okay.
to do it. But,
uh-huh.
I would like to feel that the same sort of situation exists
mm-hmm.
today as when I was there, but I'm sure it's not.
Yeah, I'm actually,
the reason
yeah.
I think that is because I did look into
uh-huh.
one of the large, which used to be one of the large chemistry
uh-huh.
rooms
uh-huh.
for the first year chemistry, which
uh-huh.
was this
yes.
kind of a
yes.
amphitheater
yes.
sort of shape.
Yeah.
And I looked and it was still there.
Uh-huh.
But up on the walls were three large TV sets.
Okay, is it? Okay.
Uh-huh. And so I think things have changed there too.
Yes, okay. Yeah. I think there must be at least 10,000 students there. The school is huge. I think the school is huge. There must be at least 10,000 students at some
oh.
of the state now. Maybe even more,
yeah,
20,000.
I thought it was somewhere around 15
oh my gosh.
Or 18,000.
Oh, I see, okay. Okay. Yeah, so
it's a huge place.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And how many students were there in chemistry then when you went there? How many students were in chemistry?
As I recall, there
mm-hmm.
probably was the order of 25 to 30
okay. Okay.
who had
okay.
committed to
okay.
the
okay.
chemistry background.
So it was a small group.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, I was wondering whether you met Gordon Moore there, because he studied chemistry around the same time, I suppose.
Yeah. Interesting
right?
enough, I uh-huh. have never met Gordon Moore.
Okay, okay.
I've heard of him,
uh-huh.
and I've seen pictures of him, but I've
uh-huh.
never met him.
Okay.
And
uh-huh.
I think that would have been interesting. Yeah,
absolutely. Because he studied chemistry, I would say probably late 40s there, or early 50s. Let's see. I'm trying to remember his biography, but he studied chemistry at San Jose State for 2 years. And that must have been just before you went there.
Yeah,
that's my guess.
Probably.
Yeah.
See, I was there 46 to 49.
Okay.
And I think he preceded me by a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was wondering whether you were involved in any extracurricular activities when you were there.
Any
extracurricular activities?
Oh,
or?
No. Okay. Of the time originally, of course, I was involved in an outside job to support myself and my wife.
Okay. Yeah.
So I didn't get involved in any extracurricular activities there.
Okay.
I pretty much, I guess, kept my nose to the grindstone I belonged to couple of fraternities there.
Mm-hmm.
Pi Epsilon Pi.
Okay.
And I was elected to Pi Delta Phi. Pi Delta Phi. But Pi Epsilon Pi was a chemistry fraternity. And I also the Tower Fraternity, yeah. That was Tau Delta Phi. So those were my extracurricular activities.
So then in 49 you decided to move to Stanford.
Yeah, in 49, after I graduated, I said that my decision had pretty well been made that that's where where I would go.
Okay.
And so I enrolled the following, let's see, we were on semesters there. So I enrolled the following semester in Stanford. And took the qualifying exams in the chemistry group. There we had to pass qualifying exams, as you probably will aware. I took those, I think in the second quarter.
Okay.
And they gave them, and passed three and was marginal on the fourth. So it said I could go on for a master's, but I couldn't go on for the doctorate. And I said, well, I'll just take them again because I planned on going as far as I could go. So I took them the following quarter and passed them all at that time. So then I was qualified. And I still have copies of those at home.
I
mean,
I see.
They were some real, real interesting exams. I'm not sure if you had those in the history department or not.
Yeah, I actually had them, and that was during my third year. Now in chemistry at Stanford, students have to take the old exam when they join the university. I mean, some of my friends who got their PhDs in chemistry had to take the old exam during their first week at Stanford. So it's tough, right? But then they are really done with it.
Yeah.
And in history, I took them during my third year. And it was painful. Yes.
There were two experiences that I think are really very indelibly kept in my mind. One are the qualifying exams. And the other is the oral exam that we had to take at the end of our studies.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Which you had to pass before you could graduate.
Okay.
In fact, I I went there. I got my master's in mm-hmm. That year, uh-huh. in 50, mm-hmm. and then started in the PhD program, and I finished up my coursework and mm-hmm. my experimental work and wrote my dissertation by 52.
Wow, okay.
And then I was asked to help with the program, so mm-hmm. I was given a postdoc position, even though I hadn't got my my PhD officially.
Okay.
And so I stayed on, and then that was with Dr. Hutchinson, who is also a key person in my life. And I stayed on three years on that position.
Okay.
And I finally said, well, I can't be a perpetual postdoc. I better take my exams. Get out of here. So I did. And of course, in the chemistry department, that exam was made up of four professors.
Okay.
One of which was your thesis professor. Mm-hmm. And the other three were picked at random. Mm-hmm. And I think one of them came from physics.
Okay.
And the other two, in my case, were from the chemistry department. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I had Richard Ogg. I don't know if that's a familiar name or not. But anyway, he was he was one of the geniuses around the campus. And very eccentric. And he ended up, he took his life there, he drank cyanide and so on, and finished up, but he was brilliant, really brilliant. But he was the last man in the university I wanted to have on my orals committee. But I got it. And he was the one that gave me the most trouble. I mean, he asked me some question about the PB law.
Okay.
And so I drew a curve and I said, this is the PB plot. And he says, is it curved like that up on top? And I said, no, I said, that's just my normal drawing. That's a straight line.
Okay.
Well, he says, let's make it a straight line. And we spent half an hour getting that line adjusted. So,
oh, my gosh.
I mean, talk about unnerving. After I walked out of that exam, I thought, that I was going to have problems, I wasn't going to make it. But thank God I made it.
You made it, yeah.
I got his vote, I guess. But anyway, that's
okay.
Those are the intel moments.
Who was your advisor then?
Professor Parks, George Parks.
Okay.
He was very prominent in the area of thermochemistry.
Okay.
And he was the one that interested me in the research program that I got involved in, which was measuring. Actually, initially heat source solution. I worked for him both for my master's and for my PhD. And for my master's, I worked on some heat source solution, some sugars. And using a piece of equipment that was generated by a previous student at one time. I had the opportunity of going through and kind of revising the design of it bringing it up to a point where I thought the accuracy was going to be what we needed. Finished that, and then for my PhD, I worked on the heat of combustion, and that that was an interesting problem to me because Dr. Parks had said there are a series of of compounds that mm-hmm. we really need to know the heats of formation of mm-hmm. to fit within a chain mm-hmm. of the similar compounds with different carbon chains.
Okay.
And he says, nobody has been able to do the measurement because mm-hmm. it was just, he said, impossible to accurately know mm-hmm. how much of the compound mm-hmm. you would be using mm-hmm. in your combustion medications.
Okay.
Because they were all very volatile compounds. Mm-hmm. And at that time, mm-hmm. The method of doing heats okay. of combustion, of course, mm-hmm. was to fill a little crucible weigh a crucible
okay.
accurately,
okay.
fill
okay.
it with the material you're going to put in, and then okay. weigh it again. But most of these are solids with very, very low vapor pressure.
Okay.
So you could get an accurate weight.
Uh-huh.
And you knew what the weight was at the time of ignition.
Okay.
Well, that wasn't the case with the alcohol. So
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I said, yeah, I'd like to
okay.
take a crack at that, and
uh-huh.
went through and designed equipment
uh-huh.
which allowed me to handle the material
uh-huh.
in the absence that they also oxidize very rapidly,
okay.
which
okay.
is another point.
Uh-huh.
To handle each material in the absence of oxygen
uh-huh.
and also to contain them so that there was no loss due to
okay. Okay.
the vapor pressure.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so I devised a piece of equipment which allowed me to do that, to measure the amounts that I was using,
okay.
Put them in a special little crucible I designed,
mm-hmm.
and capped it with the fuse that normally is used to
okay.
ignite these.
Okay.
Made a special form of that uh-huh. so I could cap it tight.
Uh-huh.
And then I could take them out, and
okay.
I could weigh them on a microbalance,
okay.
which is
okay.
the normal
okay.
way you would weigh
absolutely.
At that time.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that allowed me to do these three compounds
okay. Okay.
With uh-huh. very good precision and
uh-huh.
accuracy.
Okay.
So that was uh-huh. the main part of my dissertation. And of course,
uh-huh.
I guess my ability to do that relates back to here again, some of my training that I got in high school.
Yeah, I was thinking about this.
With Mr. Gordon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
he was very good at getting you to look at problems and then get back to the basis of why they are a problem.
Okay.
So,
And then for your postdoc, what did you do for your postdoc then?
For the postdoc, uh-huh. I worked with Dr. Hutchinson. He was
uh-huh.
interested in trying to measure some
uh-huh.
heats of absorption
okay.
of water on some of the clay systems.
Okay.
So uh-huh. I worked with him and designed
uh-huh.
what at that time we called uh-huh. a semi-micro calorimeter.
Okay.
Because the heats we were talking about are
uh-huh.
extremely low.
Okay.
And there wasn't really a good way of measuring
mm-hmm.
them at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I designed this calorimeter,
mm-hmm.
which had very good accuracy,
mm-hmm.
and also a way of introducing
mm-hmm.
the material, the clays, to the water, which is a small bulb system, evacuated bulb
okay.
system,
okay.
Which when you put in the calorimeter at the
mm-hmm.
correct time,
mm-hmm.
you could break the bulb to release the,
okay.
the powder, and
okay.
and then of course the water would absorb on the
okay.
surfaces and
okay.
measure the heat.
Uh-huh.
And that took my 3 years. They say
okay.
I think I built the calorimeter myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had
mm-hmm.
access to a machine shop.
Uh-huh.
And so here again, some of my early training in high school
uh-huh.
Helped me, and
uh-huh.
I went through designed a calorimeter and then machined it
okay.
and put it together
okay.
and worked like a mule.
Okay.
I'm very proud of that.
Okay.
Nice little thing.
Okay.
In fact,
uh-huh.
I think one of the individuals that followed me used that for some of his thesis work, and I think he redesigned some of the electrical measuring systems that I had for the it wasn't a linear bridge, it was but it was a precise bridge once you calibrated, and I think he redesigned that part of it and used it again. But to my knowledge, that unit still may be there someplace. But that was my primarily my postdoc work is doing that and measuring the heats of absorption, and again, kind of helping some of his students who were working there also.
Next, I was wondering how this project was financed. Did Dr. Hutchinson have a contract?
He had a contract, and I'm trying to remember who funded that, but I'm sorry, I can't remember that one at this time. But yeah, it was a funded contract, and it was from funds that he received I think it was Universal Oil.
Oh, I see. Wow. Okay.
Because now that, as I recall, they asked me to come down and give them a seminar on this, and I think what they were interested in is desorption of oil from clays to allow the capture of the oil systems.
Okay.
And so they asked me to come down. I went. They're down in the close to the La Brea tar pits.
Okay.
And so I went down for a couple of days and gave them a seminar on what we were doing and the results that we were getting. So that's where the money came from.
Okay. And I was wondering about the first project. I mean, how did you finance the your doctoral work? How did you finance your master's and then your doctorate? Was it
that just came from my tuition, I guess,
I
mean, materials that I needed that weren't available through stores there, I just purchased myself. Used them.
Okay.
So, no, there wasn't any contract funds related to either my master's or my doctorate.
Okay. Now, I was wondering if you could speak a little more about the chemistry department in the mid-50s.
The chemistry department at that time, in my estimation, was pretty good. They had, you know, Dr. Mosher was there. He's gone. Of course, there's Dr. Ogg, Dr. Parks, Eastman. Kearney, Dr. Kearney, another very, very intelligent man. In fact, he was deep into thermodynamics at the time, and one of his courses, it really kept you bound to keep up, because he was one of those people that. That gave you just enough, so you didn't have the final solution, but you had to work to the final solution. And which is a great approach. I think I learned a lot from that. And there was Dr. Johnson who taught chemical kinetics. He was another. This guy would go through and he'd be talking about some equations in chemical, and he was talking and writing the equations and differentiating it and what have you as you go along. And as a student taking notes, you know, that was a little bit difficult, but he was good. But anyway, the department at that time I thought was very good.
So it was a stimulating place, right?
I think it went downhill a bit after I left.
Okay. Okay.
But I think presently it's probably again in, in pretty good shape.
Because I think Gerasi and people like this, Carl Gerasi.
And I'm sorry.
I mean, there was a big change in the department. I think in 1960.
Yeah.
I when think so. Gerasi and people like this moved in. Yes.
Yeah. I went back. Oh boy! I guess it was just after the earthquake.
Okay.
That really destroyed a lot of the campus here, and.